This is tape number 3, side number 2 of Mystery of the Ages.
The world began at the time of these two special trees. We hear virtually nothing in the biblical misteaching of today about the tree of life, and almost nothing about the forbidden tree. But now, consider. God had created a man out of the dust of the ground, but God creates in dual stages. The man was not yet physically complete. God wanted him to multiply and replenish the earth, but the man could not do that because he was not yet physically complete. So God put him into a deep sleep, anesthesia, and performed an operation, removing a rib and forming a woman from it. They became one family. The physical creation of man was completed. They could reproduce their kind. But the man God created was mortal. He had only a temporary physico-chemical existence kept alive by circulation of blood, oxidized by the breath of air, and fueled by food and water from the ground. He did not have life inherent, self-containing life, but he did have a human spirit that, united with God's Holy Spirit, could beget him with eternal life. Immortal life offered. But God offered to him immortal life through the symbolic tree of life. God did not urge or compel him to take it. He merely made it freely accessible. Adam could eat of all of the trees of the garden except the one forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What if Adam had taken of the tree of life? You probably never heard that question answered. That symbolic tree is offered today to those called and drawn by God to Jesus Christ. There is one difference between the original Adam and the called Christian. Adam had not yet sinned, and no repentance was necessary if he had chosen the tree of life. Otherwise, the repentant and believing spirit-begotten Christian is in the same position Adam would have been had he taken of the tree of life. Adam would have received the Holy Spirit of the immortal God to join with his human spirit. Of course, since Adam was required to make a choice, he would have rejected the way of Satan by taking the tree of life. But again, what would have happened had Adam taken the tree of life? He would have received the Holy Spirit of God to unite with his human spirit. The man was not mentally or spiritually complete until receiving the Spirit of God. This would have united him, mentally and spiritually, with God. He would have been begotten as a child of God, just as is the converted spirit-begotten Christian. He would have received the Holy Spirit of God to join with his human spirit, begetting him as a son of God, imparting to him the earnest of immortal life, and making him at one with God. As in the case of the spirit-begotten Christian today, where Christ in us is the hope of glory, Colossians 1:7. And again, the mind of Christ is in us, Philippians 2:5, so the very mind of the eternal would have been in Adam. But instead, the mind and attitude of Satan entered into him and worked in him, even as it has in all his children that have composed this whole world. We read in Ephesians 2:2 that Satan, as prince of the power of the air, does indeed actually work within humans. At this juncture, we explain a point that might be misunderstood. In the temptation by Satan, Eve was deceived, but Adam was not, 1 Timothy 2, verses 13 and 14. Adam disobeyed God and sinned deliberately. But even though he was not deceived in this original temptation, his deliberate disobedience of God's explicit command cut him off from God, producing a state of mental perversion and opening his mind to the deceptions of Satan. From that moment, Adam and all his children after him were receptive to the sway of Satan. Satan began to work in the mind of Adam, even as God would have worked in his mind had he taken of the tree of life. A world held captive. Thus, from that moment, Satan had spiritually kidnapped Adam, and all his human family has ever since been held captive by Satan. God would have revealed to Adam God's way of life, which is God's spiritual law. That law is the way of outflowing love, but it would have been the love of God shed abroad in human hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. Human natural carnal love cannot fulfill God's holy law. But even as a human embryo has been begotten by human parents, and just as the embryo must develop through the process of gestation before being born, so is the spirit-led Christian, and so would have been Adam. But he would have experienced a direct connection and contact with God. I like to compare this to the umbilical cord connecting the newborn baby with its mother. Its human life and physical nourishment has been supplied during gestation from the mother to the child. God's spirit life is imparted to the Christian through the Holy Spirit. Also, spiritual knowledge is imparted by God, but through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:10. Full comprehension of God's law, His way of life, is imparted by God through the Holy Spirit. But the law of God requires action and performance, and love is the fulfilling of God's law, Romans 13:10, and it can be fulfilled only by the love of and from God, Romans 5:5. So Adam would have had the in-depth spiritual knowledge to live God's way, and also would have been supplied with the divine love that only can fulfill that perfect law of love and put it into action. He would also have received by the Spirit of God the very faith of God. He would have received knowledge, guidance, and help from God. He would have had reliance on God to intervene in matters beyond his control. In such matters, God supernaturally does for us what we are unable to do for ourselves. In other words, God fights our battles for us. Rejecting God's law and government. But instead, Adam chose a different kind of knowledge. He took to himself the knowledge of good as well as evil. He relied wholly on himself, both for the knowledge as well as power of performance of good as well as evil. He rejected reliance on God and chose the course of self-reliance. The only righteousness he could acquire was self-righteousness, which to God is like filthy rags. Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Taking of its fruit was taking to themselves the knowledge of what is good and what is evil, deciding for themselves what is right and what is sin. This, of course, meant rejection of God's law, which defined for them the right and the wrong. The glorious archangel Lucifer, as God originally created him, was the pinnacle of God's creative power in a single being. Few today remotely realize the great power, now turned to cunning deception, possessed by Satan. Apparently, Adam completely underestimated him. The wily Satan got to Adam through his wife Eve. He did not say, "Choose my way." He appeared as a subtle serpent. He cleverly deceived her. He put doubts in her mind about God's veracity. He put a sense of injustice and resentment within her. He deceived her into believing God had been unfair, selfish. He subtly injected vanity of mind. He misled her into thinking it was right to take of the forbidden fruit. Adam, not deceived, nevertheless went along with his wife. With her, he took to himself the determination of what is right and what is wrong, thus disbelieving what his Maker had said, rejecting God as Savior and Ruler, rejecting God as the source of revealed basic knowledge. He believed and followed Satan's way. Adam's world sentenced. When God drove out the man from the Garden of Eden and barred re-entrance, lest he go back and receive eternal life in sin, Genesis 3, 22-24, God pronounced sentence. God said, in effect, "You have made the decision for yourself and the world that shall spring from you. You have rejected me as the basic source of knowledge. You have rejected power from me through my Spirit to live the righteous way. You have rebelled against my command and my government. You have chosen the getting, taking way of Satan. Therefore, I sentence you and the world you shall beget to 6,000 years of being cut off from access to me in my Spirit, except for the exceedingly few I shall specially call. And that few shall be called for special service preparatory for the kingdom of God. They shall be required to do what you have failed to do, reject, resist, and overcome Satan and his ways, and follow the ways of my spiritual law. Go, therefore, Adam, and all your progeny that shall form the world, produce your own fund of knowledge. Decide for yourself what is good and what is evil. Produce your own educational systems and means of disseminating knowledge, as your god Satan shall mislead you. Form your own concepts of what is God, your own religions, your own governments, your own lifestyles and forms of society and civilization. In all this, Satan will deceive your world with his attitude of self-centeredness, with vanity, lust and greed, jealousy and envy, competition and strife and violence and wars, rebellion against me and my law of love. After the world of your descendants has written the lesson in 6,000 years of human suffering, anguish, frustration, defeat, and death, after the world that shall spring from you shall have been brought to confess the utter hopelessness of the way of life you have chosen, I will supernaturally intervene. By supernatural divine power, I shall then take over the government of the whole world. With re-education, I will produce a happy world of peace. and on repentance I shall then offer eternal salvation to all. After 1,000 years of that happy world to come, I will resurrect from death to mortal life all who have died uncalled during this present 6,000 years. Their judgment shall then come, and on repentance and faith, eternal life shall be offered them. During this 6,000 years, when I myself shall cut them off from me, they shall not be eternally judged. Only as they sow during their lifetimes, they shall reap. But when I open eternal salvation to them, there shall be no Satan to hinder or deceive them, no Satan for them to overcome. Those few called during this first 6,000 years shall have to reject and resist Satan's pulls and overcome. But those who overcome shall sit with me in my throne and have power under me to rule all nations under my supreme rule. Origin of self-reliance. What does all this mean? Adam, the first human, rejected knowledge from and reliance on God. He chose to rely on his own knowledge and abilities. The modern world, developed from Adam, relies wholly on human self-reliance. The psychology taught in our day is self-reliance. Rely on the innate powers within you, they teach. An atmosphere of self-reliant professionalism pervades most modern university campuses. It is the spirit of vanity. The university student is induced to think of himself as becoming a professional. That is, he considers himself elevated above those who have not had his brand of education. Through the basic concept of the evolutionary theory, he feels himself completely above those who believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He regards them with disdain. Salvation closed off. Upon Adam's making this fateful and fatal decision, God closed off the tree of life, Genesis 3:22-24, from the world sired by Adam for 6,000 years. That is, except in the case of chosen prophets for the writing of the Bible and of the church called out of this world by Jesus Christ. But even Jesus said plainly, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him," John 6:44. God thereupon, at the very foundation of this world, laid out a 7,000-year master plan for accomplishing his purpose. It was Satan who deceived Eve. Adam then sinned deliberately in partaking of the forbidden fruit. The whole world since has been deceived, Revelation 12:9. Let us pause here momentarily. Let us realize this was the very foundation of the world in which we still live. At this point, Satan must have gloated. He must have believed God was defeated, that God through Adam had failed to overthrow Satan's rule on the throne of the earth. But God says, "My purpose shall stand." God's 7,000-year plan will accomplish God's purpose in overwhelming and magnificent glory. Understand this point, which has been a mystery to the world. When God closed off the tree of life, he closed off the redemption and salvation of mankind for 6,000 years, until the second Adam, Jesus Christ, after 6,000 years, should return to earth in supreme power and glory to unseat Satan from his throne and to rule all nations of mankind. The first man, Adam, had been given the opportunity to choose God's government, to restore that government to the earth, and to unseat Satan from the throne of the earth. Since he failed, salvation cannot be open to humanity generally until Jesus Christ, the second Adam, has accomplished what the first Adam failed to do, namely, to unseat Satan and to sit on the throne of the earth, restoring the government of God to this earth. The closing of the tree of life from the human family marked the foundation of the present world still ruled invisibly by Satan. How then was God going to accomplish his purpose? At that very foundation of this world, it was determined by God that the Word would be born on earth as the sacrificial Lamb of God to redeem mankind from the rule of Satan the kidnapper, Revelation 13:8. But how, then, was God ever to accomplish his purpose of reproducing himself through the humans to be born during that next 6,000 years? Salvation through resurrection. At that very foundation of Satan's world, it was also decreed, Hebrews 9:27, that God had appointed that all humans should die once, and after that, by resurrection from the dead, would come the judgment. Meanwhile, mankind as a whole would not as yet be brought to judgment, neither condemned nor saved. It was at that time decided that as in Adam all humans should die, So in Christ, the same all should be brought back to life by a resurrection to judgment, 1 Corinthians 15:22. This very resurrection of all who died in Adam has been a mystery to the whole world deceived by Satan. Even today, traditional Christianity celebrates the resurrection of Jesus on the pagan Easter every spring, but says nothing about the future resurrection of the billions who have died in Adam. That resurrection will be explained later in this volume. Meanwhile, when Christ should come as humanity's sin-bearer, he would found the Church of God. The purpose and function of the Church will be fully covered in chapter 6 of this book. Pause right here. Understand what Satan has blinded the entire world from seeing. Realize what a deceived traditional Christianity has not understood. This is of supreme importance. The world of traditional Christianity has been deceived into supposed Christian teaching of the immortality of the soul, of those who profess Jesus going immediately upon death into a heaven of eternal idleness, freedom from responsibility, and bliss in ease and laziness. In those who fail to accept Jesus, going at death to a definite place of eternal, continuous burning fire called hell, where they shriek and scream in indescribable pain and agony forever and ever without hope. The teaching has been that man is an immortal soul and already has eternal life. It denies, Romans 6:23, that the penalty for sin is death and that man can have eternal life only as the gift of God. The false traditional Christianity teaching might be compared to taking a one-way railroad trip. This trip is your life's journey. At the end of the line, a switch is automatically set that will send you straight to a lasting burning hell of indescribable pain and torture. But if, at any time during life's journey, you profess to accept Christ, the switch at the end of the line at that point is turned to shoot you straight to heaven. Much supposed Christian teaching has been that God created the first man, a perfect immortal being, but that when God was not looking, Satan stole in and wrecked this wonderful handiwork of God. Salvation is then pictured as God's effort to repair the damage and to restore mankind back to a condition as good as when God first created him. In doctrine after doctrine, they have believed and taught the diametric opposite of the truths plainly revealed in the Bible. Satan's first lie. They have taught Satan's first lie that man is an immortal soul. This teaching, when one stops to give it thought, is that saved mothers who have died and gone to heaven are continually conscious of their lost sons who are shrieking and screaming in indescribable torture of hell fire. But what is the real truth of God's holy word? Do the dead know what the living are doing? My wife told me shortly after our marriage that after her mother died, when she was only 12 years of age, she thought her mother in heaven was seeing everything that she did. I quote now from an article in The Plain Truth, March 1985. Scripture plainly reveals that when you die, you are dead. According to the Bible, the dead don't hear anything, see anything, think anything, or know anything. The dead have absolutely no awareness of any kind. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6. The Bible's message is clear on this point. Death is death beyond any shadow of doubt. The Apostle Paul wrote that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Death, by definition, is the absence of life, not just separation from God. Scripture even warns us to make the most of life now, while we have the opportunity. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Ecclesiastes 9:10, Revised Authorized Version. It couldn't be more plain. But what about those who want to cling to the cherished belief in floating off to heaven after death, if good, or sinking to hell, if bad? Listen to the Apostle Peter's response. If anyone deserved to go to heaven, it would certainly be someone after God's own heart, wouldn't it? David was such a person, Acts 13:22. But Peter was inspired by God to say, David is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, Acts 2:29, RAV. And further, David did not ascend into the heavens, Acts 2:34. Jesus himself also said that no man hath ascended up to heaven where God's throne is, John 3:13. Will we each live again? But there is more to this life than living for the present life. The great God put humans here on this earth for a marvelous eternal purpose, not even understood by this world's humanly devised religions. We are on this earth for a wonderful reason. It involves the answer to why we humans were made mortal and suffer through the gamut of emotions and troubles, or experience the good times of human life. Even though when we die we are dead, we will not remain dead forever. The dead in their graves will live again. Read what Jesus says. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. John 5, verses 28 and 29, RAV. There is an accounting for our behavior in this life. Every human being who has ever lived will ultimately give an accounting and be in a resurrection. I have explained earlier that the spirit in man of itself does not see, cannot hear, cannot think. The brain sees through the eye, hears through the ear, and thinks as it is empowered by the spirit. At death, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. The spirit is the depository of memory and character. The spirit is like a mold. It retains even the human form and shape of the deceased, so that in the resurrection to judgment, those who have died shall look as they did in life, retain whatever character they established in life, remember everything that was stored in their memory. But in the meantime, in death, there is no consciousness. They know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. The most universal false teaching, believed by virtually all churches called Christianity, except the one and only true and original Church of God, is that all are automatically lost unless they profess Jesus Christ as Savior, and that now is the only day of salvation. But the truth is that those cut off from God are not yet judged. Few understand this basic master plan of God. The reader cannot possibly be more surprised at the truth revealed in this volume than was the author more than 58 years ago. The whole world has been deceived, as God's word foretold. One deceived is not aware of the deception. Don't underestimate Satan. Humans cut off from God? One reviewing the multiplied evils in the world today might think man has cut himself off from God, but it is God who cut off mankind from him. And why? Does that seem to make God appear unfair? Quite the opposite. Let us make that point clear. Adam, by choosing to take of the forbidden tree, cut off himself and his family after him from God. Yet because all humans born from Adam have sinned, each human has in fact cut himself off from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. The person in the God family who spoke with Adam was the Logos, or Word, who was later born as Jesus Christ. Adam had no contact with God the Father. When the Word closed the tree of life, all mankind was cut off from God the Father until Christ would come to earth in supreme power and glory to take from Satan the throne of the earth and to restore the government of God over the entire earth. Meanwhile, Christ, the second Adam, came in his first appearing to reveal the existence of God the Father, Luke 10:22. Until that time, the world had no knowledge of the existence of God the Father. That is one reason the religion of Judaism had believed that God consists of one person only. That is the reason theologians have lost, or rather never possessed, knowledge of the fact God is a family into which we may be born as part of that very God family. That also explains why, on reading in the New Testament of God the Father and also of Jesus being God, they came up with the false theory of the Holy Spirit being a ghost or third person of a Trinity, thus blaspheming the Holy Spirit and limiting God and doing away with all knowledge that converted humans can become members of the very divine God family. Thus, Satan blinded Christianity from the truth and purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have overlooked a most important truth, the resurrection from the dead. They celebrate a pagan Easter acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but they overlook entirely the plain biblical teaching that all who ever lived are to be resurrected from the dead, although in the time order of three distinctly different resurrections. The only hope the Holy Bible gives for the vast humanity of this dying world is the hope of a resurrection from the dead, but that is a positively sure hope. All this will be completely covered and the full scriptures given in the chapters to follow. What a tragedy that, as plainly stated in Revelation 12:9, this whole world has been deceived and blinded from the truth by Satan the devil, still sitting on the throne of the entire earth. The real truth is startling, but you will find it plainly revealed in your own Bible. Follow it as you carefully read this book. Consider, when God drove Adam and Eve out from the Garden of Eden, he set angels to bar mankind from re-entering. Suppose the Eternal had left the gate into Eden open. Man had already taken of the forbidden tree. Man had already turned to sin. What would have happened? Probably the whole of sinning mankind would have surged back in to take of that tree of life. Without any repentance, without even faith in God or in Christ, mankind would have helped himself to receiving eternal life. Think a moment. God not unfair. How unfair would God have been had he allowed that? Man, with all his sins, and sin has a habit of increasing in the one who indulges in it, would have become immortal, living forever while suffering the pains, mental, physical, and spiritual, that sin would bring on him. Man does not seem to realize that he now is the slave of sin. Sin has cut him off from God the Father. Few understand that we are not saved by the death of Christ. We are reconciled to God the Father by Jesus' death. We are saved by his life, Romans 5:10. Man does not realize that only a real repentance, turning from sin, and the living faith of Jesus Christ can free him from that penalty. Sin enslaves. It punishes. It brings sorrow, remorse, anguish. It inflicts physical injury, sickness, and disease. It produces frustration and hopelessness. The most unfair, unkind, cruel thing God could have done once Adam and Eve had taken the forbidden tree would have been to leave the way open into the garden with free access to all comers to the tree of life, symbolic of the gift of eternal life. But what did God do? He drove out the man and the woman. He barred re-entrance. He, however, made salvation and eternal life in extreme happiness and bliss become available to all the human family. But with godly wisdom, he set a time order and conditions. For the first 6,000 years, now almost completed, all but the predestined few were cut off. On this point, the entire world of traditional Christianity has been deceived. Here is a most important truth. Satan, sitting on earth's throne, tried to kill the Christ child. He then tried to tempt and disqualify Jesus just before the Christ started his earthly ministry, Matthew 4. Satan caused the martyrdom of most of the apostles. He caused intensive persecution against the church. He caused a violent controversy to flare up in the early months and years of the church, disputing whether the gospel to be proclaimed was the gospel of Christ or man's gospel about Christ. Satan caused the latter to win out, and in less than 20 years, a false and counterfeit gospel about Christ was being proclaimed by all but the persecuted few who loyally remained as the small and persecuted true original Church of God. Is now the only day of salvation? These deceived Christians taught and still teach that now is the only day of salvation, and that their counterfeit salvation of just accepting Jesus Christ without the repentance of turning from sin and the obeying of God's law would send people as immortal souls immediately to heaven upon death. Satan has blinded the minds of those of traditional Christianity to the fact that God closed off the tree of life until the glorified Jesus Christ comes in supreme power and glory to restore the government of God over the whole earth. It was decreed, I repeat, that it was appointed to humans once to die, and after death is to come the resurrection to judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Meanwhile, the world of Adam is not being judged, though in the final judgment all shall be held to account for their sins. But meanwhile, God has made certain exceptions for a definite purpose. God raised up prophets for the very purpose of being part of the foundation of the church. Jesus called disciples out of this world to be taught to teach others, and in the coming millennium of the restored kingdom of God, to rule and teach under King of Kings Jesus when the tree of life will be open to all flesh. The church was called to be trained to become rulers and teachers in the kingdom of God when the tree of life shall be opened. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit has been closed to all but the prophets and the called out ones of the true church. The prophet Joel foretold it shall come to pass afterward, after the 6,000 years of this world of Satan, that God will pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh, Joel 2:28. Meanwhile, it was necessary for God's purpose that the Holy Spirit be given to the prophets and those specially called out for training to become rulers and teachers under Christ when the government of God is restored to the earth over all nations. In calling out the church, Jesus said plainly, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him," John 6:44. The church is merely the first fruits of salvation. This entire truth will be made more clear in chapter 6. Why the second Adam? To review, approximately 4,000 years from Adam, God sent Jesus Christ to live a perfect life, overcoming Satan, qualifying where the first Adam failed, to replace Satan as ruler on the throne of the whole earth. Those who, as Jesus did, overcome Satan, their own selves, and sin, the called, that is, will sit with Christ in his throne when he comes to set up the kingdom of God and to restore the government of God, which the former Lucifer rejected and ceased to administer. Those very few called, beginning with righteous Abel, up to now, and on to Christ's return to earth, have had to do what Adam refused to do, reject the way of Satan, who rebelled against the government of God. Who, then, is a real Christian? Only those who have been and are being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8, verses 9, 11, 14. And none can receive the Holy Spirit until that person, 1, repents of his sins, his transgressions of God's law, and 2, has complete faith in Jesus Christ, relying on Christ, which includes believing Jesus Christ. I mean believing what he says, his word, the Holy Bible. Thus, the called out ones, after real repentance and belief, Christ reconciles to God the Father, and we receive the Holy Spirit impregnating us as children of God. At this point, let us clear up another question. Why could not Cain, Abel, and Seth, the firstborn children of Adam, have repented and purely on that repentance have received the Spirit and life of God? God's law could not be a law except there be a penalty for its infraction. Adam had sinned. All his children had sinned and incurred on them the death penalty. They and no person after them could be freed from the penalty of that law until Christ, their very Maker, had paid that death penalty in their stead. Therefore, no salvation was possible until the crucifixion of Christ. Only Jesus' atonement could reconcile any human to God the Father. Now what of these and all the others, the thousands of millions? Up to now, unless called and drawn by God, they simply have not yet been judged. I do not mean they shall not have to give account for their sins. They shall, indeed, but their judgment is coming. Judgment has begun in the true church of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him," John 6:44. No man can come to Christ otherwise, but the church is merely the first harvest. In Satan's deceived world, many have come to a counterfeit Christ who is supposed to have done away with his Father's commandments. They even worship Christ. But Jesus himself said plainly, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Mark 7, verses 7, 9, 13. Deceived millions do not realize that they are worshiping Christ in vain. They have been deceived into worshiping another Jesus. Every human shall be called. When Christ comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will reign for the next 1,000 years. Everybody living from his coming will be called. After that 1,000 years shall occur the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12. All who ever lived from Adam on who were uncalled by God shall be resurrected mortal in human flesh and blood as they were in their first life. Then they shall give account for the sins of their former life. The penalty of those sins is death. They shall then learn that Jesus Christ had paid that death penalty in their stead. But on real repentance and faith, they shall be forgiven and receive God's Holy Spirit, begetting them to eternal life. God's wonderful master plan will call everyone who ever lived to receive eternal salvation, but on real repentance and belief of God's truth. But there is a time order in resurrections. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward." Two other resurrections revealed in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13, are not covered in 1 Corinthians 15. Those called in the millennium and those in the great white throne resurrection and judgment shall not have Satan then to overcome. How wonderful are God's ways, even though hidden now from most of humanity, bringing so much suffering on themselves. As the Apostle Paul exclaimed, "O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Romans 11, 33. In man, God is reproducing himself. The word for God in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim in the original Hebrew. It is a name like church or family or group. God said, "Let us, not me, make man in our image." God truly is a family into which we literally may be born. What then is man? He is a living being made from the dust of the ground. He is clay, and God is the master potter, molding, shaping, forming our character if we respond when He calls and draws us to Him. With our willingness, He is infusing into us His very own spiritual, holy, righteous, and perfect character. Why is man? God created man on the earth to build in us what the sinning angels refused to let God build in them, His perfect character. He is, in His time, order, and way, developing us to become very God, each of us, and to finish the creation of the unfinished universe. But for now, we still live in this deceived world led by Satan. Chapter 4, Mystery of Civilization. Few stop to think about it, but when you do, could anything be wrapped in more mystery than this world civilization? How explain the astonishing paradox, a world of human minds that can send astronauts to the moon and back, produce the marvels of science and technology, transplant human hearts, yet cannot solve simple human problems of human life and group relationships or peace between nations? The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth, and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does He allow so much violence and human suffering? We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but, not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events develop to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. A fiction writer wrote about a time machine that could transport one back to some time in history. If we had such a time machine, we should now transport ourselves backward 6,000 years where we could actually see what was transpiring in that original Garden of Eden at the foundation of the world. That's where this civilization started. Then we may better understand why there is now talk of the imminent end of the world. How did our civilization develop to our 20th century state? What a mystery that is to thinking people. Of course, most are not thinking people and never ask themselves that question. But if one does, he finds the question enveloped in mystery. So let us understand. It has already been explained in this volume how God created man for the supreme purpose of reproducing himself. But this supreme purpose necessitated the creation in us, with our own assent, diligence, effort, and joy, the supreme spiritual character of God. But in so doing, why did God place man on the earth? Why this particular planet? The unfinished earth. God placed man here to restore the government of God to the earth. Lucifer and his angels had been placed here originally. God had put them here on an unfinished earth. Remember, God creates in dual stages. Like a woman baking a cake, she bakes first the body of the cake, but it is not finished until she puts on the icing. The substance and body of the earth had been created before the angels were placed here, but God intended for the angels to develop the surface of the earth, to beautify and improve it. For this purpose, He gave them His government to regulate their conduct and performance together in so doing. But Lucifer, on the throne to administer the government in cooperation and harmony for their world, rebelled. He turned cooperation and harmonious activity into competition, evil, rebellion, and destruction. Light on earth was turned to darkness. Wasteness, decay, and ruin came to the surface of the earth. Then, in 6 days, Psalm 104, verse 30, God sent forth His Spirit and renewed the face of the earth for man. But still, the icing on the cake had not been added. God placed man here to do that which sinning angels had not done. Man was to finish the beautification of the earth. God is not the author of confusion, ugliness, or decay, but of beauty, perfection, character, the best in quality. Look at the description of God's heaven, the seat of God's throne, where, we might say, God lives as described in the 4th chapter of Revelation. God sits on a throne surrounded by brilliant splendor, quality, and beauty and character, more dazzlingly and gloriously beautiful than anything human eyes have ever seen. God intended man to work this earth, improve it, beautify it, give it glorious character, and in so doing to build into his own life the beauty of holiness, 1 Chronicles 16:29. God never intended humans to live in poverty, filth, and squalor or ugliness. Man should have beautified the earth and developed man's character in so doing. His civilization should have been a heaven on earth. What man has done? But what has man done on the earth where God placed him? Man has made ugly, polluted, defiled, profaned everything his hands have touched. He has polluted the air, befouled the water in the rivers, lakes, and seas. He has deteriorated the land, denuded the forests, thus altering rainfall and causing the expansion of deserts. He has worn out the soil by neglecting to give it its Sabbaths of rest every 7 years. Man has built cities and allowed them to deteriorate into slums, filth, and squalor. All because the very first human rejected and turned from God, relying solely on himself, and all Adam's children have done likewise. Thus man has built a man-made and Satan-influenced civilization. Man not only has ruined the earth he should have developed and improved, he has destroyed his own health by wrong living and degraded and perverted his own spiritual character. Now, at last, as we near the end of the 6,000 years God has allowed him this free reign, man has created the Frankenstein of weapons of mass destruction that can destroy all mankind utterly, unless a merciful God intervenes to save us from ourselves. A modest foretaste. We now live in the era biblical prophecy calls the last days, the last generation before the coming of Christ to rule and accomplish on earth what mankind should have done. In these last days, according to biblical prophecy, knowledge, spiritual as well as material, was to be increased. The true church of God was to be set back on the track, restoring the glorious knowledge of the faith once delivered to the saints in the days of the original apostles. Jesus Christ, through the church, built three colleges, two in the United States and one in England. The three campuses, in material beauty, have mutually excelled each other as a high-character physical setting for the development of God's righteous character in students. The beauty of godly character in these students has excelled the physical beauty of the campuses. A royal queen, on a recent 6-day visit to the headquarters campus in Pasadena, California, on touring the campus, exclaimed, "I have just been in heaven." 3 times this campus has won the award of being the most beautiful, best landscaped, and best maintained campus in the United States. These campuses are an example of what mankind should have done, and a modest foretaste of the beauty that will blossom forth over the whole earth after Christ and his saints and his kingdom are ruling the earth in the wonderful world tomorrow. Deteriorated former millionaire mansions have been restored. An area behind them that had deteriorated into Pasadena slum area has been cleaned out and been built into the most beautiful area in Pasadena. What if Adam had taken the tree of life? How did this material and human character degradation start? Had Adam taken of the proffered tree of life, the whole course of civilization would have been entirely different. Peace, happiness, joy, health, and abundance would have spread over the earth.
This completes tape number 3, side number 2 of Mystery of the Ages. Please continue on tape number 4.